illegal images of CSAM, child sexual abuse material, that aren't even real. Hello, I'm Richard Pyatt, and this is Legally Speaking. We've done podcasts before with our ICAT commander, Sete Aule, but we want to have another conversation with the Internet Crime Against Children Task Force because, unfortunately, their job keeps changing. The newest wrinkle, child porn that's computer-generated. Thanks for joining me, Sete.
Of course, thank you for having me.
We spoke before about how ICAC was consistently busy getting more tips, exploring more cases, more explicit images, and blatant efforts to connect with a live young person. Are things getting worse? Are your numbers going up? How would you characterize the way that the issue is evolving?
Yeah, it's definitely been going up as the years have gone on. Last year, the year 2023, we hit over 6,000 cyber tips. That's the highest it's ever been. And there's no signs of it slowing down.
Is the attitude of the offenders changing at all? Are they becoming more emboldened somehow? Or is there a difference in what they're looking at or sites that are available to them or the, you know, things like that?
I don't think much is changing in terms of, I guess, how this is being shared or distributed or what have you. But I think that their tactics are probably getting better in trying to hide their activity, hide it from us in law enforcement and hide it from parents who are trying to be alert for their children. And so I would say that, and we always have to try to keep up with their tactics, predators' tactics. And then, of course, you couple that with the ever-changing of technology, we just have to try to stay on our toes with all of that.
Do these changing tactics make it more difficult to investigate it or to prosecute it or both?
Investigate, prosecute, and of course to catch these guys, yeah.
But you're still on the job. You're still working. If you had double your workforce, would you still be really, really busy and still have plenty to do, plenty of tips coming in, that kind
of
thing?
Yeah, of course. We'd still have plenty of work to do if we doubled, tripled our force. And that's not just here within our state. That's across the country.
How often are the people that you're seeing, people that have offended before that maybe you're familiar with, recidivists, if you will, that maybe even have been convicted and served prison time before? Do you see that?
It's actually very common for us to see or to encounter a repeat offender. It's not that abnormal.
So this idea that the system is rehabilitating people, do you feel like the success rate is low on that, would you say?
I would say so, yes.
Okay. Well, that's a different conversation. I'm not trying to be provocative here, but it's just that I'm trying to get to the point that this issue is really, really difficult to crack. You don't even an arrest and a conviction doesn't stop people from engaging in this activity.
Right. And unfortunately, with how we sentence in our state, it's not the best, to be quite honest with you, to be very frank. It's not the best. And so I know a lot of investigators in our state, they work their butts off to try to catch these guys. And they put long hours and long days into catching these guys. And then to hear the kinds of sentencings that they're getting, it's a blow to their efforts. It's also a blow to the victims with what they had to endure.
So I alluded to this in the introduction about AI images, artificial intelligence, computer-generated images, and maybe even porn. How common is that becoming?
We actually are seeing an increase of that, and it's not like we haven't seen it before. We've been seeing this artificial intelligence generated images before, but now what we're seeing is these images, these pictures, or these videos, they're so real. It's hard for our people to discern if it's a real child or if it's computer generated. But like I said, we're seeing it more often.
Is there a way that you can tell relatively quickly, or do you have to study it somehow? Or
of course, we look at it for sure to see if we can get an idea there. But then we'll also compare the hash of that file of that picture. And when I say hash, it's the unique identifier of the picture.
So are those images, possessing those, trading those, still illegal, even though it's not, quote unquote, a live person or an image of a person, of a human being?
In our state, yes, it is illegal.
Okay. But, and you also had experience with people with animation.
Yes.
Animation and those images are illegal as well, right?
Yes.
So the laws don't need to be updated. If you could suggest something from a law enforcement standpoint, We're not saying that you're advocating anything or trying to make problems with anybody at the legislature, but what you see every day, what needs to happen to like really make a difference in this program? Do we need stiffer laws, stiffer penalties, more counseling? How can we help?
Well, I think the laws are there for us to combat this issue, to fight it. I already alluded to this earlier, is our sentencing in our state. I think that needs to be a lot better, because a first time offender right now, currently, if we were to arrest a first time offender, he would probably get just over 200 days, have to register on the sex offender registry, and maybe have to go through a sexual evaluation. And there are some other guidelines that he have to go to, but the 200 days is not, I don't know, that for me, that just doesn't seem adequate enough for this type of crime. So I think stiffer sentencing would definitely serve best.
Is it possible for you to take me through in a way that doesn't compromise your investigative techniques, how you guys work? You get cyber tips, called in, someone notices something, or you may detect something through your own methods. And then how do you get to the point where you're actually going to the person's house?
Yeah.
To arrest them.
Yeah. So as you can imagine, there's several different ways on how we get reports on this type of crime. One of the biggest ways, and the number one way we get it, is through the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. NCMEC is what it's called. We'll get a cyber tip line report from them. Well, let me back up. So by federal mandate, all of these social media companies, all of these internet providers, when they find illegal activity on their platforms in terms of sexual exploitation of a minor, they are mandated to report that to NCMEC. NCMEC will then filter through that report and determine which appropriate ICAC task force that it needs to go to. It'll then get forwarded to that task force. And then once it gets there, so for example, it'll come to Utah. My cyber tip manager here will go through that cyber tip and look at all the details in it, and including the pictures and videos of CSAM that's in it. They will then determine who it needs to go to throughout the state, whether it's down south, up north, out in the basin, or out in Tooele, wherever it may be. Once that detective gets the report, they will then look through it and start writing legal process, search warrants to internet providers, to social media platforms, to try to identify who uploaded or who shared CSAM. And then they'll have to wait on returns from those companies. And then once they get those returns, then they'll start doing their intelligence, gathering their intelligence on all of the information that they got, and then ultimately leading to making contact with that responsible person.
Okay. So that's quite a lengthy
process. It's long.
and the tips keep rolling in. Do you also get reports from families?
We do.
People that maybe a child has been victimized.
We do. Yes, we do. And when I say that we investigate cyber tip reports, that's just the number one reporting that we get. We also do get family members, friends, citizens who recognize or who see this happening, and then they'll send in a tip line as well, or I'm sorry, they'll file a report as well to our tip line, and then we'll carry out the investigation from there.
So this seems to be one of those problems that the technology exists. It's hard to put the genie back in the bottle. You have kids on there also. We have another case in the AG's office. The investigations unit has a case that was investigated that was a situation where there was a young person reaching out through one of those, quote, sugar daddy websites.
Yeah.
To an adult and sort of putting herself in danger, probably without fully realizing what she was doing.
Right.
So the kids are kind of engaging online too. I guess the message that would occur to me is this isn't something that law enforcement can do away with on behalf of everybody in society. Parents are going to have to get involved in keeping track of what their kids are doing, what they're, who they're engaging with online.
Yeah, exactly. I think in terms of that case, children are just not understanding the consequences of their actions. When they choose to befriend someone online, or when they choose to send a message or a picture of themselves online, I don't think they truly understand the ramifications of that. And so it takes some education on everyone's part, not only us here in ITAC, but also with parents, like you said. I think parents, we definitely need their help to educate their children on the dangers of social media. If parents are going to choose to give a cell phone or allow their child to be on social media, they need to have a conversation with them about the warnings, the dangers of having that. It's taken a big step to allow them to have a phone or a social media account.
But you think even the traditional social media accounts, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, whatever the kids, Twitter, X, or whatever you want to call it these days, are those also problematic, do you think, for parents? The parents need to be monitoring activity on there?
Absolutely. NCMEC, they just released some statistics at the beginning of the year, and they listed off seven of the top reporters of the social media companies to them. Facebook, Instagram, X, Snapchat were amongst the top reporting entities to them. And so to say that it's happening, no, that's an understatement. It's definitely happening on those platforms.
And let me just sort of ask this a different way. Do you think parents realize the dangers that are out there? I mean, if a kid comes up and says, "I'm just on Twitter, Mom."
Right. And saying it like that, a parent would be, "Oh, they're just on Twitter." But yeah, a child may say, "I'm just on Twitter." Well, a parent should probably look at what they're looking at on Twitter if they're on Twitter. So yeah, I don't think, I definitely don't think parents understand truly what can happen on these platforms.
Do you go around and educate families about, about the work that you do, what you're seeing, and kind of give parents a heads up so they can start enforcing these kinds of rules with their kids and this kind of relationship with them earlier?
Absolutely. Absolutely. On a daily basis, we do that, whether it's on our social media accounts or we will physically go out and make presentations. We have a dedicated education specialist where that is her sole job, is to go out and do public awareness and just educate on the dangers of online activity.
Okay, we spoke about AI. Before I close out, are there any other trends that we need to be aware of that you're seeing more of? Any kind of changes in the, there are sort of variations on the overall theme that continues on?
Well, no, AI is definitely there. There's no doubt about that. But the other thing that I know my investigators are seeing is sextortion cases, where a child will send a picture, a naked picture of themselves, and then they'll get extorted for money. Financial sextortion is what we're seeing a lot of, and that not just within our state, but this is nationwide that we're seeing this. And so, not just AI stuff, but we're also seeing a lot of sextortion cases.
What can law enforcement, what can the justice system do about that? Prosecute the person that's extorting them? Does that happen frequently?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it definitely happens.
And it's effective?
Sure. Yeah, it is effective, yes.
Okay. All right, a lot of dangers out there, and not to freak everybody out, but this word to the wise, be aware for your kids' sake.
Absolutely.
Thanks for joining us today on Legally Speaking, Sete, and we'll talk to you next time.
Thank you.